it happened in the past very often that local communities, indigenous peoples, have been overlooked in conservation strategies. Indigenous peoples are now fortunately more and more being heard in international forums such as the CBD, the Convention on Biological Diversity, and CITES. And furthermore, FAO is member of the Collaborative Partnership on Sustainable Wildlife Management, which recognizes the key role of indigenous peoples in this regard. And this is because indigenous peoples and local communities have a deep understanding of wildlife ecology, of management practices, and have valuable experience and tradition regarding wildlife conservation.
Trophy hunting was also addressed in the report. Could you elaborate more on FAO's stance there and why this needs to be highlighted?
Let me start by saying that trophy hunting is not to be confused with poaching. Trophy hunting is supposed to be legal and well regulated, while poaching is illegal and causes a decline in animal population. Trophy hunting still can play an important role and can have positive outcomes for indigenous peoples and local communities, provided trophy hunting is managed well under a clear governance framework. Now, to reach those positive outcomes for indigenous communities and local communities, it is really important to have a meaningful community participation in decision-making regarding wildlife management and also having appropriate benefit-sharing mechanisms, for example, ensuring that revenues coming from trophy hunting goes back to the communities for community development, but also for conservation, depending on the needs at stake. Also, to be acceptable as a source of food and livelihood improvement, it is very important that trophy hunting does not have any negative environmental effects. I mean, cause and decline animal population, being abused so that perhaps the wrong species being hunted, even though the permit is for one, etc.
Can you give me one or two brief examples where addressing these issues has had a positive impact in terms of food security?
Well, FAO and partners, for example, have developed Human-Wildlife Conflict Toolbox, and its application has helped to take actions against human-wildlife conflicts and to protect the agricultural crops, for example, in Gabon's Crystal Mountain National Park. The human-wildlife conflict was provoked by animals such as elephants who were destroying the entire crops of local communities and thereby threatening their food security. At the same time, these communities were preventing from taking any actions because the law prohibited them to hunt these animals. I mean, they were protected. So the solutions offered by the toolkit included, for example, fencing the plantations to block animals from reaching the crops. It included lighting fires or making noise to scare the animals away, but also posting guards to keep watch on the plantations at night.
And how do these issues connect to the larger issue of food security within countries?
Well, in many places, rural communities face human-wildlife conflicts, which then affect food security. On the one hand, because large animals, they can really jeopardize the livelihoods of people because it can really destroy a year's harvest, for example. It does also connect to food security in the fact that local communities very often rely on wildlife for their protein intake. The value of wildlife for local food security is, for example, illustrated by the fact that in several Bantu languages, the word nyama, for example, refers to wildlife, but also to meat. This just to say that sustainable wildlife management is essential for achieving food security in many countries, and this is the reason as well why FAO is working on these.